They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baron Adorsky's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring as Sir Percy Blakeney.
Well known sheriff. I remembered him well. A shrewd, stubborn, likable man. A product of the slums, who had risen by his own ability to become one of the wealthy merchants of Paris. With the revolution, others had fled, but Michel had stayed on, confident that because he was of the people, he would suffer no harm by the people. And now here, the Tony Dewhurst and I, in our roles as idle young men about town, seated in a London drawing room with his widowed cousin, Madame Marie Jacquet, and her son, Emile.
You must wonder, Sir Percy, what is my reason for having asked you and Lord Dewhurst here today?
Not at all, ma'am. The opportunity to exchange the latest gossip with a charming woman is its own justification, eh, Tony?
Lord, yes, absolutely.
Matter of fact, we've been hearing strange stories lately about Lady Diana Marchwood and a certain young groom.
Well, this is scandalous.
Of course, you can't swear how true they are, but people are saying...
Monsieur, for once it is not gossip that I wish to discuss.
No? You disappoint us, ma'am.
Unless, of course... You would so classify the arrest and escape of my cousin, Fernand Michel.
Arrest Fernand Michel?
What do you mean, madame?
You knew Fernand, I believe.
When France was still a civilized country in the days before the revolution, he entertained us several times, and lavishly, too, I guess.
Well, I remember one dinner party, but... No matter, you were there, madame?
It is because you know him that I thought you may be interested to know what has happened to him.
Most interested, I assure you.
Because I hoped perhaps you may be able to give me some advice.
Well, you may rely on us to do anything in our power.
Thank you, Lord Dewhurst.
What's all this about his being arrested? I can't believe it. It's too ridiculous.
It is true, unfortunately.
He was never interested in politics.
Because he was always careful to keep away from such
things. And he was not, if you'll forgive me, of the aristocracy.
Oh, hardly.
Then why did they arrest him?
Yeah. What was the charge?
Treason against the state.
Oh, the... Second pardon, ma'am. That's absurd.
There must have been something more behind it.
I'm sure there was.
Perhaps it was just an excuse to seize his money. I'm told the mere fact of being rich is almost a crime in France.
No, it could not have been that.
Why not?
Because in France he has no money left. At least very little. Only enough for his immediate needs.
Oh, you mean it had already been confiscated?
No. You see, Fernand foresaw the revolution, and before it happened, he transferred most of his assets to England.
Oh, but you can. Our color again.
Fernand was always clever. Always one pace ahead of the other people. That was the reason for his success.
And this money is still here intact?
Yes. I am the trustee for it. I hold it first for Fernand himself, and in the event of his death, for my son, Emile, here.
But I don't want Uncle Fernand's money.
Now, nonsense, Emile. He has no children of his own. You are his closest male relative. It is fitting he should make you his heir.
I don't want it, actually. I want to make my own way in the world.
And of course you shall, my dear. But it is a comfort to know that one day, in the fullness of time, when your uncle dies...
It is no comfort to me. This old principle of inheritance is wrong. Why should an accident of birth entitle me to a fortune which it has taken someone else a whole lifetime to amass?
Oh, there is. Someone has got to get it through all that.
But I think it should go to the same.
Listen to that. He'd have it all forfeit.
Why should anyone be entitled to money he hasn't earned?
A pauper, you say, Herbert. He'd have us starving to death.
Well, I shall not be too light. But I still think...
That will do, Annie. You must stop on him, monsieur. We young sometimes have strange ideas.
Oh, there's nothing strange about this.
I said that will do. I am very annoyed with you, Annie. Please be silent.
No.
Now, to return to Fernand.
You were telling us of his arrest.
Yes, it is my belief he was denounced.
Denounced?
By an enemy for reasons of personal strife.
Possible, I dare say.
It is happening all the time now in France. So many innocent people going to prison or to their death. If only Fernand had listened to me. When the revolution first began and I decided to bring Emil to England, I begged him, pleaded with him to come too. But you know the sort of man he is.
Stubborn.
And when I tried to point out to him the danger, he would laugh. Always since I have come to England, I have been afraid for him. And now it has happened. And all is lost, alas.
But you say he's escaped.
Yes. On the way from prison for his trial, so I am told.
And he's still free.
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
That's all is not lost yet, ma'am.
Perhaps he's on his way to England now.
You do not know France as it is today, monsieur. He is a marked man. They'll hunt him down.
You've no idea where he's been hiding or what his plans are?
None, monsieur. If I did know these things, perhaps there would be some way I could assist him. But as it is, there is only one man who can find him and bring him to safety. And that man I cannot reach.
Oh, who is he?
The Scarlet Pimpernel.
Later that evening, alone in my chambers, Tony and I talked the whole thing over.
That's odd she should have mentioned the Pimpernel. Didn't she guess it?
I'm sure she does.
Then that's why she really asked us there to investigate.
Of course.
Shouldn't we do something about it? I mean, if we could help Michel in any way.
We first have to find him. That mightn't be easy.
Can't imagine any of it would be... Well,
then we'd have to persuade him to come to England, and then we'd have to get him to the coast and across the Channel.
What's the matter, Percy?
No matter.
All these difficulties you're making.
Well, trying to be practical.
I've never seen you like this before.
Cautious, you mean?
Yes. But thank you, Orly. Here's a man we both know who's in danger and needs our help.
Yes, I know that. Normally, I wouldn't hesitate for a second, but...
But what?
I can't help feeling there's something rather odd about the whole thing.
Odd? How do you mean?
I don't know. Nothing I can put my finger on at all.
Soon check on the facts. About the arrest and escape,
honey. Oh, I'm not doubting the truth of all that. But am I doubting Madame Jacquet's complete sincerity?
Well, for the life of me, I can't see why.
Oh, boy, Tony. Oh, perhaps that's it.
What about it?
Well, I don't know. It's nothing I can really put words to. How did he appeal to you?
Rather young and naive, of course. Well, nonsense about not wanting to inherit fruit.
Did you feel it sincere?
Now I'm beginning to understand. He thinks he does protest too much, eh?
Well, I may be quite wrong, but even allowing for youthful idealism and so on, it does seem a strange attitude to take.
Oh, granted, you may be right, but I still don't see it affects the position one way or the other.
No, I suppose you're right. Foolish of me.
The question simply resolves itself into this. Do we try to find Michel and help him, or don't
we? Well, naturally we do.
You mean that, don't you?
Of course.
Good. When do we start?
Well, we'd better leave for Dover first thing tomorrow. 3 days later, we were in Paris. Now we were committed to the task of locating Michel and bringing him to safety. There was no room left for vague doubt. And yet they persisted against all reason. Andrew Fuchs was in Paris on another mission, and from him we were soon able to verify the basic facts.
Yes, you're quite true. They arrested him at his home early one morning about a fortnight ago.
The charge was treason, they told.
Yes.
Any details?
Only the vaguest, I'm afraid. Something to do with defrauding the revenue by making false taxation returns.
Well, sounds like a fake charge to me.
And to everyone else, too. The general theory is that someone high up, some member of the Committee of Public Safety, had a private reason for wanting him out of the way.
That's Madame Jacquet's theory also.
Anyway, he was held in jail for a week while the lawyers prepared a case against him, I dare say. And then, on the morning of the trial, as he was being taken to the Palais de Justice, he escaped. His escort was attacked, and in the confusion, he was able to get away.
Oh, so it wasn't just a lucky escape. I mean, it was
Pierre. Oh, definitely Pierre. The escort walked right into an ambush.
Any idea who was behind it?
Not the vaguest.
Away he's hiding now?
No, afraid not.
Well, at least we do know he's not without friends.
friends, moreover, who are willing to risk their lives to save them.
I'd give anything to know who they are.
But with the Committee of Public Safety, I'd know that.
The question is, how are we going to find out?
I seem to remember Michel lived not far from Saint-Germain-des-Prés.
Next day, one of those streets running down to the river. Forget its name.
It is still there at the time of the rest?
Yes.
But in that case, our best plan, in fact, our only plan, is to spend our time in the inns, thereabouts, making what guarded inquiries we can without creating suspicion. Generally, keeping our ears and eyes open and hope for the best. It was a long job and a tedious one. Without doubt, many people to whom we spoke had known Michel. But such was the state of terror in Paris that they dared not admit it. After a fruitless week, both Tony and I were almost ready to give up.
Oh, what a use, Mr. That wasn't for a needle in a haystack.
A very small needle in a very large haystack.
Ah, we're wasting our time. Only a complete option. Just hope to get results.
Oh, cheer up, Tony. I have a feeling. Tony.
What?
That elderly man who's just come in.
What about him?
Have you seen him before?
I don't know. I've
looked at him well.
Yes, I believe I have somehow.
Think hard.
Oh, yeah.
Try to picture him in a white wig, scarlet jacket, grey bushy nose.
Yeah.
Michel has invited us to dinner. We are at the front door. He opened.
Of course.
Got it now?
What, dear? Michel Footman. I'll have his name. It's
Dubois.
No, it was do something. Duval. No. Duclos, that's it.
Oh, Duclos.
Yes. It is the same fellow, isn't it?
I swear.
So would I. But will he remember us? That's the point.
We'll make it our business to see he does.
And even if he should, can we persuade him to talk?
We'll make that our business, too. Maybe, as you say, the complete optimist, Tony, but somehow I have an idea. We've found our needle.
Marriott Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. As the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Duclos was a pleasant stock, which meant that he was a cautious man. It was 2 hours and 3 bottles of wine later before we persuaded him to return with us to headquarters. There we removed our disguises, and for the first time I saw the suspicion fade from his eyes.
Well, you remember us now, Duclos.
Oui, monsieur. I do. And a couple of young blades you were, to be sure. Oh, these English, the master would say. Crazy. But I like them all the same. This is a dangerous time for Englishmen to be in Paris, surely.
That's why we have to go in disguise. Duclos, you know why we're here.
No, sir.
We are here to help your master.
Help him?
To take him back with us to England. He'll be safe there, beyond the reach of his enemies.
I see what you mean.
But if we're to help him, you must first help us. By taking us to where he's in hiding.
Why should you think I can do that?
Your master didn't escape by chance, Duclos. He was rescued by friends.
Knowing the depth of your regard for him, he believes you were one of them.
To that, I don't say yes and I don't say no.
Please, Duclos.
It's imperative we reach him.
For his own sake, you've got to trust him.
Why should I, monsieur?
His friends in the old days, you know that.
Times have changed, monsieur. One's friends of yesterday are often one's enemies of today.
You're close, right, Tony? Start thinking too much of him. But I have an idea.
What?
Suppose I write your master a letter, Duclos.
Oui?
Could we be sure of reading it?
Nothing is sure in France today, sir.
But it is possible.
Even that I am not prepared to say.
still, write your letter.
And we will see.
Good. Pen and paper, Tony. And another glass of wine for Duclos while I write. The following afternoon, the old man returned, and the same night the three of us left Paris. Next morning, we arrived at a farmhouse several miles outside the capital. There, waiting to greet us, in the shabby attire of a peasant, was Fernand Michel.
My dear friends, it is so good to see you. So good.
And to see you too, monsieur.
It's been a long trek.
When Duclos brought me your letter, I could hardly believe my eyes. You have come all the way from England just to help me, you
say. Yes.
At the risk of your own life?
There's a risk, monsieur. We are used to this sort of thing.
Used to it? Oh, then I guess why.
What do you mean?
I have often wondered about you two. In the old days, you liked to pretend you were fools. I could never understand why. Now it is quite clear. You are of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Well, perhaps. Anyhow, the point is, monsieur, we're here to take you back with us to England.
You have been sent by my cousin, Madame Jacqueline?
Not exactly.
But you know her and Emile.
It was from them we learned of your arrest and escape.
Yes, my... Madame Jacqueline believes you were denounced by an enemy.
So it would seem.
And yes, I thought I had no enemy.
In these days, who can tell?
Oh, monsieur.
And you still have no idea, then, who gave you away?
None at all.
Perhaps.
What?
No, just a thought. Probably quite wrong. The sooner we begin our journey, the better. For safety's sake, we'll travel by night. Could you be ready this evening?
You take it for granted, I see, that I'll come with you.
But you must.
It is safer for you to stay here.
They haven't found me yet.
They're bound to sooner or later.
Tony's right. You can never be safe again in France.
I know, I suppose not. Anyway, if I must go, I must. This evening, you say, monsieur, I will be hiding.
The escape route was functioning smoothly, and to avoid fatigue and unnecessary risk, we traveled by easy stages. Yet, in spite of everything, I still had that sense of uneasiness which had been with me ever since the beginning of our adventure. We were on the last stage now. It was midnight, and Dieppe lay a mere 20 miles ahead.
Another couple of hours, very most thrilled.
And then,
monsieur, England.
How long will the crossing take?
Oh, if this weather holds, 12 hours.
Oh, we should be there before nightfall.
Well before.
Now, you have your own boat, indeed.
Not this time, but we have a friend. A fisherman. Jean Colbert.
It seems you have many friends.
Your organization, if I may say so, is very complete.
It needs to be, monsieur.
And then it happened. Half a dozen vague shadows loomed suddenly out of the darkness ahead.
Oh, it's an ambush.
Keep close together. Not every chance. You hear, monsieur? First chance you get, break clear and lie like a deuce for the air. We need a cold air cottage.
The armor!
Let go, the arm!
No, she's anywhere.
If you can.
In another second, they were among us, and the fight was on in earnest. The darkness was a lie. In the apparent conclusion, we worked our way steadily through the press till the open road lay ahead.
That's you, my friend. And you.
Now, monsieur. Right, boy.
No.
Sure, get hold.
Wait
here, Freddy. Let's go
down.
Right.
Charge! Get away! Faster, men!
Luckily, our mounts were fresh, and the surprise of a sudden breakaway gained us a furlong or more before the pursuit began.
All right, monsieur.
Yes.
Heart wound in?
Oh, I had two blows,
that
was all.
Save your breath, you two. You'll need it.
At last. Yes. How is it?
We abandoned our mounts and disappeared into the labyrinth of narrow streets that led to the waterfront. Our objective, Colbert's cottage.
Not far now, monsieur. Just around this corner.
Yes, yes. The fight's safe. By the key.
Colbert! Colbert!
All that day, we lay safely in Colbert's act while the search went on through the town. At dusk, Colbert would prepare a boat, and by midnight he judged it would be safe for us to leave. Meanwhile, as we waited, there were certain things to discuss.
That was no accidental encounter, monsieur. They knew we were coming that way, and that's why they lay in wait for us.
But how could they have known?
Someone obviously warned us.
But who? But they told you of our plans, except for himself.
And Duclos.
Duclos? I can't believe it.
Oh, well.
But he's been my faithful servant for years. But he who planned my rescue. If he wanted to betray me, you could have done it a dozen times over.
You're quite right, of course, monsieur. It wasn't Duclos.
Then who? That's what I want to know. Who?
The same person who denounced you in the first place.
My unknown enemy.
Your unknown enemy, monsieur. Someone who's prepared to go to any lengths to destroy you.
But I tell you...
Someone who stands to gain by your death.
To gain?
Tell me, monsieur, this nephew of yours, Henri Jacquet. You know him well?
Naturally.
You trust him?
Implicitly.
He's your sole heir, I believe.
But you're nothing.
I am sorry, monsieur. But the evidence is too strong to ignore.
What evidence? It is nonsense, doctor.
I wish I could believe it were.
Of course, it could be, Henri. It all fits, doesn't it?
Only too well.
I refuse to accept that.
The facts are against you, monsieur. Emile was present when his mother told us of your arrest and escape. It was mentioned that he was your heir, and he went to great pains to assure us he wanted none of your money.
Well, he had always been an independent youngster.
And I believe he was determined to have your fortune by hook or by crook. And that's why he informed on you and brought about your arrest.
Or could he from London?
Another anonymous letter in the right quarter will work wonders, monsieur. You may even have had a confederate in Paris.
But it is all pure conjecture.
Your escape was, of course, an unexpected blow to his plans. He guessed as his mother did, who Tony and I were, and he knew we'd try to find you and help you. So he followed us to France.
Then he must have seen our meeting with you, Claire.
Exactly.
Yes. And with you, my dear.
Probably even saw us set out for the coast. Guessed our destination would be Dieppe, and warned the military to watch out for us en route.
Well, this is all very ingenious. The only flaw is that it happens to be quite uncouth.
But the fact.
The facts are, monsieur, that I have known Emile since he was a baby. And I flatly refuse to believe he would ever do such a thing.
Yeah, that just may be. But you're not out of the woods yet, you know.
Why, how do you mean?
Whoever your enemy may be, he's bound to try again. And I'm taking no more chances of you until he's delivered you safe and sound in London. The enemy patrols were so active in the streets of Europe that it was almost dawn before Colbert finally got us away. The wind had faded to a breeze, and it was approaching sunset when we ultimately reached Dover. We took rooms at the Fisherman's Rest, meaning to travel on to London next morning. I realized that if Michel René was to make a final bid, it would have to be now. So as we left the company in the parlor and went upstairs, I outlined my plan.
You want us to change rooms with you, but why?
Let us say I dislike the view from mine.
No. Really, listen, please. You think there may be an attempt on my life?
It's possible.
Then why should not I be the one to meet it?
I'm probably a little bit more experienced with this sort of thing than you.
Even so.
Please, monsieur. I may be quite wrong, of course. I hope I am. Merely a precaution.
I think you should do as best you can.
Well, if you please.
Thank you. You may doubly sure I'd be glad if you'd lock the door.
But oh, there's a way.
Good night, monsieur. We meet in the morning. I hope. Alone in Michel's room, I made up a dummy figure in his bed and waited. 5 o'clock struck midnight. Then one. Then two. I began to think my fears were grounded. And I dozed off.
What was that?
I was awake. The door. Slowly, inch by inch, the door began to open. A shadow crossed the floor. The moonlight
flashed on naked steel, and a dagger sank. Some sank a dent into the dummy on the bed. I flung myself on the assassin. Sorry! Break light!
What's the matter?
I've got him.
Him? You mean her?
It was you, Madame Jacquet.
Of course you are.
Oh, you fell on. The news you kept me. The hit you are.
Bring me the knife.
She stabbed herself. Get a doctor.
Do that, doctor. Come, monsieur. There's nothing more you can do here.
Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Thank you.
Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
It was later in London than anywhere that he learned the whole truth.
You should never have left her the handling of all that money, Uncle Carly. It was too much for her.
But my dear boy, your mother and I grew up together. We have always trusted her completely.
But you see, over here, she learned to gamble.
Gamble?
It's profession amongst a certain set. She was not a lucky gambler. She lost small sums at first and larger and larger. Your money, Uncle Carly. Till finally she came desperate and, I'm afraid, a little mad. She knew if you were dead, the money would pass to me, and that I resolved not to take it, it would all be hers to do with as she wished.
So it was she who had me arrested.
And all the time I thought it was you.
Me?
That says how long you can be, doesn't it? My apologies, Emilio. Come on, Tony.
Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marriott Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Thorpe. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.